school bus racing.
I think you heard that right.
School bus racing.
Was it Miss Frizzle from Magic School Bus? I think she might be the greatest school bus racer of all time.
I was thinking the who's the one on South Park?
Oh.
The school bus driver on South Park, that character.
Yes,
that my money's on her. And we put them in the school bus race out there. School bus racing. All right, mm-hmm. Kane, I need some pictures of that. 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. I'll tell you what, we'll address that because I got a few questions here about where the heck I've been. Mm-hmm. I've just come for 3 days.
And those few questions come from, where have you been, John?
3 days. But the bus will figure into this. I want to kind of run through it. So we put pictures up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. And you find that just go to Twitter at FM Talk 106.5. That's my handle. Put some pictures up, put some more up. Yeah, we took a quick trip. We took advantage of the Frontier airline rates leaving from Brooklyn Field, mm-hmm. from the downtown airport, which we'll discuss here in a second. Got on our Airbus and flew to Denver. Not a bad flight at all. Three hours, something like that, get out there. What I did, people were looking at some of the pictures I posted, and you were talking about the camper we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of a neat thing. If you're looking to go somewhere, we went to Rocky Mountain National Park and a few other places in Colorado. All right, and we enjoy camping. I like tent camping, but the thing is, if you're going to try to get on an airplane, you try to fly your tent and your camping gear and your cook kits and all, it's just not happening. You're not getting that on an airplane.
And I'm sure you didn't want to go to like an athletic store out there and buy everything, and then you'd end up having to leave it at the park.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No.
So something I've been looking at for about a year and a half now that took advantage of, you know what VRBO is, or Airbnb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those vacation rentals.
Although I call it VRBO, I saw a commercial the other day that said Vrbo. No, they're now... No.
Even if that was VRBO saying that, they're wrong. It is VRBO.
Right. So, but y'all know the concept, right? Where, like, you can, you rent a property through Airbnb or VRBO, and you rent that property in a city you're going to or whatever. You find something, not a hotel, not a, you know, commercially listed. I guess it is commercially listed, but it's listed by the people that actually own it. There's a website called Outdoorsy, Outdoorsy. And what they do, this is really, it's cool. Check it out. Dalton is typing right now.
I'm typing it in as we speak.
So Outdoorsy does a similar thing for campers and RVs.
Hmm.
For things you pull or things you drive.
What
right?
a great idea, yeah.
And you think about it, it really is a great idea. Like one of these, I'm like, brilliant, good for somebody using the internet to make a cool company. Because people that have campers and RVs aren't always in them. Most of the time, like in my neighborhood, we drive by and we look at them in your driveway and go, mm-hmm. why aren't you out doing something in that thing?
They become like a guest house for some people.
Right. Some of the kinfolk that you don't want in your own home, you say, go out, stay in the camper. I got it hooked up. So you go to this Outdoorsy website and you go through the same way you would on VRBO or Airbnb. You can look at different camper. You look at, all right, so we knew we were flying into Denver. So we looked at Denver, and we were arriving Saturday evening and coming back Wednesday. So you look and you put your parameters in. I knew that I wasn't going to get a camper because nobody's going to rent you a vehicle for a tow. You know, I needed an RV, something that was that we drove.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put that in. Okay, I want an RV. It's two adults, two children. Here's a range of dates. And then they'll populate it with what's available at that time.
Okay.
Then you can take a look, and it's got photo tours the same way VRBO has the photo tours of the homes. This has a photo tour of the RV. You can look through, and okay, sleeps this, but here's the arrangement. You know, two sleep here, one person over the cat, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you decide on, you know, one that works for your family. Then you book it. And it's, you know, varying rates depending on what you're getting. But you book it, and our experience was fantastic. Really met a really nice couple out there. Which, by the way, I was thinking about your brother because they're Air Force folks. Colorado.
Yeah.
Air Force family, really neat people. But we booked the camper, which is a analog of the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit, which is a Sprinter van, so I'm used to driving those.
You were comfortable behind the wheel.
Real comfortable. Those things, by the way, drive, I mean, not just like a car or truck, but they don't drive like a RV. Mm-hmm. They drive a lot better, and you can park more places and all that. And so we got there. They picked us up at the hotel near the airport where we stayed Saturday night. You hop in, you go to the grocery store, load it up, and off we went to Rocky Mountain National Park, which, by the way, a cool trip if you can go out there. That's called, Trail Ridge Road.
Trail Ridge Road.
That runs from Estes Park out through Grand Lake, mm-hmm. through Rocky Mountain National Park, which is the highest in elevation. Got to be careful in Colorado. The highest elevation paved road in North America.
Really?
Yeah, I think
higher
you top
than
out,
Pikes Peak.
I guess it's because it's a continuous or whatever, because mm-hmm. it tops out, because Pikes Peak's like 11, or is Pike Peak?
Is Pike's 12. Peak is pretty tall, but you might have to take one of those.
The actual peak is 14.
Mm-hmm. You might have to take those gondolas to the top of Pike's Peak, so you might not have the highest road.
Yeah, the road, I mean, the peak is a 14. Pike's Peak is one of the 14ers in Colorado. There's certain, they call them 14ers, or 14,000-foot-plus peaks there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trail Ridge Road tops out 12,000-something.
Still way up there.
But you drive to 12, you drive above the tree line, and some of the pictures I put on Twitter, you see those open vistas in what I call the Coors Light Mountain Range.
Yeah.
There, you get above the, so you're alpine. You're above the tree line there, and it's tundra up there. It's alpine tundra,
mm-hmm.
and you can see forever. Still snow hanging around up there, and it's probably 20, 25 degrees cooler than it is way down the valleys.
Oh, man.
It's fantastic. A neat trip. But so we had this camper. You went through, and we did our camping and did our sightseeing or whatever, and then returned it on Wednesday and hopped on the airplane there at the massive $4 billion Denver International Airport, where they spent all this money to get it done, and still it's like Atlanta. There's repairs going on. We go to get on the train thing, and they got ceiling cut out here and Visqueen hanging and people working. I'm like, they just got this sucker done, didn't they? And they're already cutting up pieces of it.
And you said there was there are all kinds of conspiracy theories regarding the Denver airport.
Yes.
And what they've
which
done.
I did not know until my 13-year-old, who is, she's going to get probably soon her own conspiracy radio show here on the station.
And, that'd be awesome.
And we'll put her on.
Yeah, I know, a lot of people used to rip on that airport saying it wasn't very good. And since then, they've kind of, I guess, bought into this conspiracy theory that so many people has about them. And then they've gone on to make this one of the top airports in all of America. That's
I didn't
what I'm
see
hearing
it.
Anyway.
I didn't see it. Okay, TSA, clearing TSA yesterday, it might have been waiting to get one of those bourbons on sale, or a new Harry Potter book, or some new iPad or something like that, because we're the TSA line for like ever. Ugh. We were in the check-in line for the TSA line went on and on and on and on. I mean, we were, you know how they route you through the like a labyrinth?
Mm-hmm.
There's like 26 turns in that labyrinth to get up there to take your shoes off.
I've been in that line. In that exact line.
Did y'all fly into?
I've flown into Denver twice now, and
with the tent like things are supposed to look like, the mountains on top.
Yeah,
so it was okay airport, but it was really wasn't any kind of. I mean, it was a pain, mm-hmm. and it was not exactly like the day before Thanksgiving. It was a Wednesday, in July. But
man,
it was. But no, so the people would ask, and how it's a neat thing. It's called outdoorsy.com, mm-hmm. and I get no plug for them other than I just think it's a cool deal, and I know there's a lot of folks interact with me on social media that have families that like to do trips like we do, and budget-wise, doing the Frontier Airline tickets and then flying into Denver and renting a camper and doing a quick around there. It's really cool, and it makes it so easy to have a direct. I know they have one that goes through Chicago O'Hare, but they have one a day, I think, that's direct, like we took Mobile to Denver. And the number of people I saw, Mobile folks that were coming in as we were leaving and out, there's a lot of people from town using the downtown airport, flying out to Denver, and then maybe from there, other places, or just enjoying the Rocky Mountains, trying to drop the temperature 20 or 30 degrees. So I enjoyed it. A lot of fun.
That's awesome. And it looks like the kids and the wife enjoyed it too.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
Which is the key.
That
right?
is the key. Because even if you enjoyed it, if
doesn't
no one
matter.
Else did, then it really
doesn't
matter. But I enjoyed seeing the pictures you posted from out there. It looks like you got some good outdoors time in.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. Fantastic. And another park to check off the list. We're a big national parks fan family,
mm-hmm.
and usually this time of year we're at the Smokies, right? And I love Smoky Mountains National Park. We'll mix it up, and we went from Smoky to Rocky this year, so that's a little mix up. Outdoorsy.com. Cool deal. Y'all go check it out. Maybe it'll work for you. And they got it's not just Denver. I mean, wherever in the United States, that somebody's got an RV or camper they're looking to rent, they're waiting on you.
Yeah, I just rented a $700 a night Prevost motorhome, actually.
Very nice. We're partying with you. All right, 8:16. Coming back, we'll grab some phone calls, 343-0106. Good stuff here. Unnamed texter, but great picture. Little Girls Lemonade Stand at Sweat Tire in Robertsdale. They're raising money for a little boy who has cancer. They need to raise the prices here. Don't they read about inflation? Just a quarter for lemonade and a bracelet.
That's awesome.
So this is in Robertsdale at Sweat Tire. They're raising money. Lemonade Stand. Y'all stop by and pick up a whole bunch of them. Do the thing where you have to take four cups and put your fingers, get eight, hold four at a time and walk off with those and give them some more money. Tell this young lady she needs to raise her prices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say at least fourfold. I think people would be totally willing to pay a dollar, at least, minimum.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's if you're in Robertsdale, Sweat Tire, go check them out. Texture said, let's see here. Oh, about the Stanley in Estes Park. Stanley, I put the Stanley Hotel picture up.
Mm-hmm.
That was not on the to-do list, but we went through Estes Park going into Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah.
And seeing the Stanley Hotel up there on the hillside and the sign, Mrs. Sullivan went, whoa, that's Stanley Hotel. And I was like, I'm focused on mountains and stuff. I said, so? She's like, The Shining?
Oh.
You know, the set for The Shining when Stephen King stayed at the... And absolutely went in there, and then I was like, oh my gosh, it is. And then I was opening door jams and put my face through there, doing my invitation to The Shining. But it was... Somebody asked, we did not stay. You can go in. Here's how the racket works. It's $10 to park. Okay? Once you park, you can go in the lobby and take the pictures walk around the grounds and all that stuff. And I don't know if you can go up through the hotel. Lobby was enough to see in the little drawing rooms off the side.
That would be a pain if you were staying there, right? That just anybody can come up and pay $10 and walk around your hotel?
Yeah, it's like people like me stand there going, hey, get my picture made.
So
hey, y'all.
Cool.
Hey, y'all, we're out there in the RV. We're in here. Yes, Chester. Yes, I did have to empty out the stuff with the RV. That's a whole nother story and show.
Yeah. All vacation, right. Christmas vacation, right?
I was, and there was a moment where we did actually look for a terry cloth bathrobe and a hat with flaps on it to get a picture for our Christmas card. It didn't happen, but we were working on that. All right, last night it was a Democrat debate, and it was time for the kids to go easy on the old folks, right? That's what Joe Biden had to say.
Go easy on the kids.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Joe Biden to Kamala Harris to go easy on him in last night's debate. I don't know. It was. It sounded like a not only President Trump in the crosshairs of Democrat hopefuls, but President Obama as well.
Mr. Vice President, you can't have it both ways. You invoke President Obama more than anybody in this campaign. You can't do it when it's convenient and then dodge it when it's not.
What are you saying? They were on Obama's case as well?
Oh, they were getting after Obama a lot last night. And you saw in the first debates that only one person really attacking any of the other candidates in the first debates last in June, and that was Kamala Harris going after Joe Biden. She saw a big bump in the polls because of the way she attacked Joe Biden in those first debates. Last night and the night before, a whole lot more attacks going around to everyone. And it wasn't only Joe Biden that was catching the arrows last night, but a lot of people going after Senator Kamala Harris because she is a former prosecutor.
And yes, prosecuted on her...
Yeah, she was. She got blitzed for that pretty good last night. Biden ended up talking the most out of any of the candidates, and that's because he was responding so often to their attacks on him. He ended up talking 21 minutes last night. Kamala Harris came in second with 18 minutes. But they attacked President Obama's policies as much.
Because they were trying to tie the former vice president to them, right? That's
right. Okay. And it's crazy how things have shifted, not only from the last 4 years in the Democrat Party. Look back eight years, 12 years ago when Obama ran in both of those campaigns. And his policies, Obama's policies, which at the time were so liberal, are not nearly far enough left now for the Democrat Party. And last night, Joe Biden was taking a lot of hits from the other candidates on stage because of his role in Obama's health care, which doesn't cover enough people, according to the New Left, and also because of Obama's immigration policies. And we've been saying it for years now, right here on FM Talk 106.5, Obama deported more illegal immigrants than Trump has to this point, and then I think any president ever. I think the number was 80,000 that were deported under Obama. So a lot of the candidates last night asking Joe Biden why he didn't do anything about those deportations and how he could stand there and say that he stands beside Obamacare while their policies, so many of them want Medicare for all.
He should have just done the truthful thing. Said, man, I was a vice president. I was there for photo ops and going to do things the president didn't want to go do.
And that's kind of what Booker was alluding to. He said, you claim the things that we like that Obama did, but the things that we are kind of against what Obama did, then when they confront Joe Biden about that, he says, well, you know, I was just the vice president. I didn't have a whole lot to say about that.
Let's grab a couple calls on this. Gary is in Saraland and up first. Hey, Gary.
Good morning. I have a home in Saraland, but I actually have a home over Gulf Shores. I'm fishing a lagoon this morning.
Are you fishing?
If I hook up on a decent fish, I may have
to... You're my hero. I appreciate you taking a second to call us.
You guys were talking about the debate earlier, and my observation, the first thing, I didn't listen to it very long without getting frustrated, but a couple of observations. One, I kept talking about how more responsive Biden was last night, and I thought he struggled the whole debate. And the other thing was, De Blasio is just so ridiculous when he tries to make any kind of comments. All of them tried to reference their resume and her attorney general role in California. He was trying to...
Hey, Gary, we're having a lot of trouble hearing you on that.
Oh,
on that
phone.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
Just hog up on that phone. Yep.
De Blasio, can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we got you.
Okay, De Blasio was really promoting his, being mayor of New York, and I've got friends that live in the city up there, and they say his popularity down there is just unbelievably low. And, of course, the way he's making his police department a personnel stand down when they run into any kind of resistance, and well, just a number of things. But, I just can't believe all the plain. I tried to understand the logic and rationale behind these increased government spending plans that they have, and I can't get my arms around it.
Gary,
they seem unaffordable and unsustainable, every one of them.
Right, but America doesn't care about fiscal responsibility from the Republican side or the Democrat side. It's unpopular. I'll say there's a bit of, when we talk about how are people campaigning on these ideas, you get the government you deserve in the representative republic, so we'll see who gets elected. That means there is enough people that think what they said is the right thing, whoever gets the nomination for the Democrats.
And, I've been saying these two debates are
catch a fish for me too, Gary. Thanks.
Yeah, seriously. It's usually only Captain Bobby who's fishing when he's on the phone with us. But these two debates over the last two nights, kind of like an NFL preseason game where you're going to see a lot of cuts to the rosters coming up with
that's right.
Because they're, standards they have to reach to be
2%?
I think it's 2%, and it's got to be so much money raised. De Blasio, one of the people that's probably going to be on the cutting room floor after last night, he was polling at 0.1%, the lowest of anybody that was on the stage last night. Right ahead of him, Gillibrand, Inslee, Senator Bennett from Colorado, and Gabbard, they're polling pretty lowly. But you look at Andrew Yang, and then from the first night, Marianne Williamson, the two people with probably the most outrageous ideas for where they want to lead America, and they're polling well. I think that's because Andrew Yang promises $1,000 to each American every month. He's buying votes.
We're buying votes. Let's go to the phones, and Paul in Mobile's up next. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Sean. I am really glad you're back on the radio.
Oh, it's a setup. Okay, here comes the setup, yeah?
Okay, the guy, Well, the guys have been trying to make this some kind of white nationalist radio station.
What?
With the only dissenting voice, Quinn Hilliard.
They think
that they don't understand that racism is only a low-hanging fruit because a person keeps saying racist things.
Who says racist things?
Huh?
Who's saying racist things?
The president and all that stuff. So they all say, oh, you can grab the low-hanging fruit. Well, if they keep saying racist things, then you talk about racism.
Hey, I'm right here, and I'm no white nationalist, Paul.
I didn't say you were.
You did. Sure, I was the one on the radio.
You sure think that white males are under attack? Let me tell you, I've lived longer as a white male, and I'm going to tell you what I get.
Are you transitioning?
I get the benefit of the doubt. I get the benefit of the doubt, and I don't live under any suspicions when I do anything. So white male's not under attack.
Really?
And you can continually say that, like, oh, well, you can't do that. You're a white male, and they think you're doing it. Or they throw word racism at you.
I don't know. All right. Heartbreak time.
The doubt is I don't get any of that.
Paul, we got to go. This is when the Westwood One News takes over again.
836 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning.
So we talk often about the shopping experience at most dealerships and how that can sometimes go wrong and be frustrating. But at McConnell, it's completely different. You get the McConnell experience. Tell me about that, Mitch.
Yeah, I hope so, Dalton. I think a lot of dealers and people listening have got to be sick of car dealers bragging about what they do and what they offer. And I think really, Dalton, at McConnell, we kind of like to talk about what we don't do. Mm-hmm. You know, and what we don't do is we don't give people the runaround. We don't advertise prices that we don't honor when a customer, you know, calls us or emails us or comes into dealership. And you know, we don't say one thing and do the other. So if people are listening and they're kind of tired of the runaround shopping for cars, or maybe they had a bad experience, you know, we really hope they give us a shot. And we really appreciate you, Dalton, and the station. We had a really wonderful month, and so many people took advantage of the McConnell experience, saved a bunch of money, and you know what else they saved, Dalton? They saved a lot of trouble and hassle and time. So we just hope anybody out there listening, new or used car, we're really proud of our dealership just because of the character and the class and the transparency that we think we have, and we try to take care of people and build relationships, Dalton, that'll last for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and that's why we're so blessed to still be in business, Betty.
Hey, well said, Mitch, and we appreciate you coming on with us every morning, and have a good one.
Well, it's my pleasure, Dalton. Y'all have a great start to your month.
All right, that's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 838 FM Talk 106.5. I just got to figure out how to use the buttons over here. Everything's now different. It's like I was gone for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. Everything's different. I know this. It's a Thursday, and we could talk to our buddy Rob Holbert from Landgap. Hey, man.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Gentlemen. You throw that term around. A lot to talk about here, but I want to get into the subject that we were talking about last week that has just continued with legs here for the city of Mobile, and that's what's next with the Mobile Civic Center. And now we have the Cordish Company as the selectee, because they were the last business standing, mm-hmm. at the end of the when one pulls out and one's left, then again, I guess they get the contract, right?
Yeah, that math works. Nothing's been completely done at this point, but the mayor said essentially that they are going to be the group selected. It's an interesting program when you look at it. When they put out the request for qualifications, the RFQ, as they say, the city asked for certain things, and they asked for, you know, that the group present a plan with an arena, a multi-purpose arena, with residential involved. And Cordish came back with a plan that had none of those things. And the Sterling Group, I guess, if you want to call it that, a group of 17 companies that were together, came back with an arena proposal, and they ended up pulling out last week, basically saying they didn't think the process was fair. They didn't think the other guys thought the mayor and the selection company were pushing for the Cordish group. And essentially, you know, basically said, look, the other guys didn't do what they were supposed to do, and now we're just at a competitive disadvantage. So they pulled the plug. plug on it. So we're left now with a plan that is it is not going to have an arena at this juncture. At least the plan they submitted does not have an arena. And it's just an interesting situation where we are, because obviously when the one with the arena came in, as we heard, it carried a price tag of $60 million. $66 million.
Yeah, 66. Yeah, it was going.
66.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just six. $6 million. You could build a man out of that. But you know, you've got to. That was a really bad joke. Sorry.
I loved it. Children of the 70s.
You would like it.
We all laughed. Yes.
But you've got this situation where you say, okay, we have a very old arena that's going to, I think, would take somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 million to upgrade to. Point that it's usable for everything that we would want to be used for, and then a new one would cost just about that much, and then there's a plan with no arena. But it's really interesting when you start looking at it and say, well, you know, I know there's a common thought process that there's nothing that goes on at the Civic Center. And we've got a story this week, Dale, when, you know, so we want to find out what is going on over there. So they're planning, by the end of this year, they would have had 360 days of events at the Civic Center this year.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's very busy. It is busy. They are using it all the time. And so the question really that does arise is, where do those things go? You know, the Sanger can't hold a lot of these things. They don't have the backstages and that kind of thing for certain things. You know, there are indoor sports that goes on at the Civic Center now. There's tennis, there's wrestling, there are things like that. One of the reasons we don't get the musical, the tours that people say, well, Mobile's been passed over for years for tours. It doesn't have anything to do with Gary Greeno. It has everything to do with the fact that the roof can't hold the weight now of most modern tours.
I mean, it's a rigging thing, right? I mean,
it's a rigging issue. The roof is just can't handle the weight. So, you know, they say, look, we get promoters in here all the time that come through and say, we want to have a show in Mobile, and look around and say, no, I can't do it here. And so, you know, the people at SMG say, we could book the heck out of a new arena. I'm not sitting here saying we need to have a new arena, but it is, you know, we would probably become, I can't think of a city this our size without a municipal arena.
No, and first of all, you know, to circle back, our conversation from last week and maybe weeks in the past, I'm not telling people how to feel on this, but I always, whatever debate we're having, I want to make sure people have facts, and you're rolling it out in Landyap, like we've talked about on the show, that they are busy. They are booking shows down there, and just because, and listen, this can happen to all of us. If it's not a show that's in your wheelhouse, if it's not something, then you just assume there wasn't a show there. But good for y'all, you know, and checking and looking at the number of dates booked for different events, because that's just fact.
I may not be that interested, but they're doing something.
Oh, it doesn't mean I want to go, you know. I mean, I've hopefully I don't have to go back to whatever it is on ice like I had to for many, many years. But I went to it because it made the kids happy, you know, went pick it and put it on ice and they were there. But other than that, it doesn't mean if there's not a show I'm going to, it does not mean they're not busy. So good for you putting that information out.
Well, it, you know, you hear this over and over again. Well, it's all it is, you know, you're just going to build an arena so it could be open five, whatever it is, you know,
for Mardi Gras.
Weeks out of the year for Mardi Gras. And that's
inaccurate.
It's very inaccurate. And, you know, this, while the Cordish plan apparently has turned the heads of some people in council and the mayor, I think, their descriptions of it, you know, that they were wowed by it going to Louisville, which is a million plus population city. There are some, you know, and as I point out in my column this week, there's some warning signs. They've openly talked about the need to double our tourists, you know, the number of tourists in town for these things to really work. That's another 3 million tourists in Mobile.
Yeah, it's not that, and that's one of the things too. If we build it on the I have a positive view of our city and where it's going. But at the same time, I don't have blinders on, right? I mean, it's the same idea that we talked about, not saying that the Civic Center is like Gulf Quest, but, you know, Gulf Quest was based on, 350,000 people coming through the doors a year? We're not even in that neighborhood, man. We're not even in that same county.
No, and it was, and that was a crazy number from the word go. And when you asked about the number, people said, "Oh, you know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen." And it, you know, you say, "Well, that number is nuts. That's bigger than all the other. You know, that's bigger than the other three biggest, you know, things that we have: the battleship and Explorium and other things combined. It's bigger than all that. How are you going to make that happen?" Well, it's going to happen. And you know, it of course didn't happen. And you know, I think the things you face with the things the city faces with the one that is left to select from is that it doesn't satisfy the issue of where are the Mardi Gras balls going to be held, and it also there's a lot of irritation from the downtown restaurants and bars and who feel like, hey, y'all are basically going to try to erect another downtown promenade two blocks away.
Right, and there's some argument there to say it depends on how much the city prompts it up, because if you say, well, you can't have anything else come in, and I'm friends with a lot of these folks that run those places, but there can be a protectionist angle, right, that says...
Sure, hey, I mean, I think that's one thing to a degree, yeah, but I mean, when you're saying this is city property, we're going to bring these people in, and they're going to basically attempt to construct something that is a direct competition.
They're getting an advantage from the city.
There's a level of irritation.
Sure, I understand that argument. I mean, if you have an unfair advantage, if it's not a even playing field and you bring new companies in, absolutely. But I want one more thing here. The mayor, I guess it was last week, called in while we were talking about this and said,
yeah,
hey, with Cordish getting this, or maybe it's not official, but being the last, you know, last company in, that they're just starting the process, that the RFQ is not exactly what they're going for. This just starts the process of figuring out what works for the city of Mobile.
Well, I mean, I guess that's, you know, I could say that, but again, when you put an RFQ and you say it has to have these things and they turn one in that doesn't have them, I don't know how they get selected. I mean, it, you know, I'm not pushing for one versus the other, but I am here to say it does look strange, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. If you say we're going to put out an RFQ and we need a building involved in it, I mean, you can read the thing and it says we want this arena, we want it to be a landmark type building, we want these things, and then I turn in something that says you know, I mean, it's like, you know, okay, you know, turn in my paper on Huckleberry Finn, but I decide to write it about Tom Sawyer. You know, it's not the same thing, and it doesn't make, you know, and at the end they said, well, it's just a starting point. Like, well, that didn't seem, I mean, I think it's one of the reasons we're left with no choices. And that's all I'm saying is that, you know, we're left with no choices at this point. We have to take this last one because that's all that's left. And I'm not sure that's the smartest thing. It would have been really nice for us to have two of these things to kick the tires on and look at and you know how it works, Sean. You always get a better price when there's little competition.
Guaranteed.
A little bit going on. And so, you know, now we're left with this. And, you know, I hope they know what they're doing. That's all.
Hey, can you hold on over the break?
Sure.
All right, coming right back. More with Rob Palmer from LandYap. It's 848. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. Right, 854 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings. Our buddy Rob Hulbert from LandYap, which, by the way, if somebody wants to pick up a new copy of LandYap this week, where do they get it?
You can check us out at 1,500 different locations in Mobile and Baldwin counties. They all have the same cover this week. It's a story about Cole State Park, and they spent $140 million there, Sean. Improvements in Gulf State Park. And
where'd they get that money from?
Well, there's a mix of BP money, that type of stuff. There's some state money. There's a lot of different things. But one of the things they did was decided to hire a private group to run some part of it. Ballard Hospitality ended up with it. And we've been trying to get the contract. It's a 22-year contract with Ballard. We've been trying to get the contract, which, you know, should be public record. I mean, there's just no reason for it not to be public record. And they, you know, the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources just refuses to give us the contract with any of the details involved. And, you know, we're being told that basically that the initial scope of what they were doing has now expanded, and they're, you know, basically overseeing almost all of the park when they were not supposed to be doing that at the beginning. And, you know, it's just one of these things where we're trying to find out, you know, what's being spent, what's being made, what's going on with it. And it's just a real, we've been going after this for 8 months now.
And I don't, I think this is still true, but, and you may have the numbers, but if I can play devil's advocate for a second and say whatever they can do to make sure Gulf State Park stays busy, they should do it, because I think it's Gulf State, as much as I love, and y'all hear it on the show, talk about Alabama State Parks, I'm a fan, we go use them, but it's like Gulf State Park and Guntersville State Park are the two cash cows on either end of the state that fund everything right. else, you know, that it's that important. I mean, if you put that money in, it's almost, to play once again devil's advocate, a capital investment in something that makes the state a lot of money.
Well, and that's the point, is the state, and that's what we're trying to find out, is the state getting that money anymore, or is Valor getting it? And that's the question.
You don't think they'd hand over the keys, you don't think they'd hand over the entire bank account to them, do you?
Well, we don't know what they're paying them. We don't know what they're getting. It's, you know, that's the problem, Sean. You know, we're trying to find out what, where that money is going, and it's, you know, when, in this business, when you start asking questions like, okay, that sounds fine, will you show us the contract? And they say, no, we're not going to give you the contract. Then you say, well, that seems strange. Why wouldn't you give us a contract? Oh, well, that puts them at a competitive disadvantage. Okay, it's a 22-year contract. What, you know, explain the competitive disadvantage, and they just say, well, that's all we're saying about it.
And, well, is there anybody, can you look at deals like this with this company elsewhere? Is this the way it's done? If they run, do they run?
This is the only deal like this with any of our state parks. So it's a different program. I mean, it's one of these things where we've been looking at it and asking questions, and they're just not really answering them very well. And when there's that kind of money involved, there really ought to be some transparency.
We'll be looking forward to more reporting on that in Land Yaps to come. And Rob, as always, man, I appreciate it. And appreciate that another swell nappies and great party last week, man. Thank you. Y'all threw a great party.
It was a good time. You know, it's always Ashley's doing. I blame her for it. It's a great party, and she handles it all.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Make it work.
Yeah, fantastic. Ashley, I've got 50th birthday party plans I need you to work on. So if you can get that message.
She's fabulous at doing it. Yeah, just be prepared. You know, there may be somebody taking a bath there. You know, that was right. We had somebody in a bath up there.
Oh, I thought you meant me financially.
Well, that too. Yeah, you can take a bath that way. Both of y'all.
Rob, it's always been. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Will do. Rob Hulbert with Land Yap, and we are out. Be back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Remember, check us out online. Go get podcasts and a lot more at FMTalk1065.com.